Praise him. Praise him. Tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him. Tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him. We can praise him with our horn. How cool is that? We can praise him with our voice. We can praise him with our prayers. We can praise him with our testimony. Are we? Am I? You know, I don't know if it was said publicly yet, but I know it was said earlier today. I labored pretty hard this week to put together this message of worship. And I'll tell you why. Because I didn't know how to worship. And I agree with Ruth. God's word is the strength. It's the thing that drives us forth. It's where we get understanding and knowledge. It's in God's word. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. God, I thank you for this church. God, I thank you for the health that you give us. I thank you that you have a plan for our lives and that your plan for our lives is perfect. And for that, we give you all the praise. God, I pray that you would teach us in this time, that we would come to understand who you are and who we are and how much we need to fully rely on you. Go before us now. Send your spirit to open our hearts and minds. Let us be attentive to your word. Be with me. Let me fearlessly and boldly proclaim this message as I should. Let it fall on fertile ground. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So what is a biblical worship service made up of? Boy, I can't wait until we can interact because I want to hear the responses. But I want to let you know that humans are instinctively worshiping creatures. The psalmist expressed this in Psalm 42:1 when he said, "As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O Lord." Are you panting for God? Or are you panting because you're tired of chasing your tail in this world? Ruth, thank you for the testimony. I'm having a bad day. God led me to Psalm 96:1 or whatever her reference was, and she found peace, comfort, and strength to get through the day. We have so much power and authority in Jesus' name, and sometimes we leave it on the table. What constitutes... No, I want to back up. We need to understand that as human beings, we have a nature that is going to worship something or someone. The questions to ask are, whom and how shall we worship? What constitutes a biblical worship service? And most importantly, will we be following the instructions of John 4:23? Last week I gave you a pencil and a blank space. I hope that pencil is in your visor or in your Bible or in your pew. And it is now in your hand. These references are the highlight of my study. But you're going to be blessed if you look at the verses before and after. I'm leading you to good food. John 4:23, it says, "A time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth. For they're the kind of worshipers the Father's looking for. Our Father, which art in heaven, is here with us." Is he finding true worshipers or false? Christ commanded that true worshipers worship in the Spirit and in truth. John 4:24 tells us God is Spirit and his worshipers must worship in the Spirit and in truth. The Apostle Paul explains in Philippians 3 that we worship by the Spirit of God. Not in our humanness. Not by the world standard. And I will tell you, I've been deceived for the better portion of my life. We worship by the Spirit of God, meaning that true worship comes only from those who have been saved by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and have the Holy Spirit living in their hearts. Worshiping in spirit also refers to having a proper attitude of the heart. And I'll tell you, there's one in the world that wants to smash that attitude. That's why kids' socks come off on the way to church before you leave the house. And why they have to go back in to do something bodily. This is called a distraction. Someone wants to interrupt our worship, and it can affect our attitude. And when we come to worship, we're not to just simply follow some ritual or doctrine of man. To worship in truth means to worship according to what God has revealed to us about Himself in Scripture. I can't stress enough how important God's Word is. In order for our worship to be biblical, it must adhere to the instructions of Christ. We read in 2 John 1:9. 2 John, good read. The 9th verse says this, anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever continues in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. Deuteronomy 12 speaks to how we're to live and to worship. Deuteronomy chapter 12. This chapter ends at verse 32 saying, see that you do all that I command you. Do not add to it or take away from it. True worship relies on the instruction given in the Bible. I would suggest don't leave it on the table another day. Pick it up, read it, and apply it. As we follow the pattern of true worship in Scripture, let us worship God with a passion that He so rightly deserves. We must not convey to the world around us that we worship our God in a boring or lifeless ritual. We have been redeemed from our sin. That's something to sing about. That's something to talk about. That's something to get excited about. I was and now I am. Let us praise God as His children, who are grateful for His blessings. Hebrews 12, verses 28 and 9 says, therefore, since we're receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and with awe. Many people today think of worship as going to church. And worship does occur when the body of Christ gathers corporately, but not necessarily every time. Too often some practices can take the focus off of God and place it onto the act of worship itself. We learned last week from Acts 2:42-47 that those who in the early church devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, and to the fellowship, and to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Some Christians think of worship as the musical portion of the church service. And there is no doubt that music is a vital part in expressing our hearts to God. We see this in Psalm 96:1. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. In Psalm 149, verse 1, we read, praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing His praises in the assembly of the faithful. And in Ephesians 5:19, sing. Make music from your heart to the Lord. Praise Him. praise him, sing of his excellent greatness. Unfortunately, I think we sing that hymn, praise him, sing of his excellent greatness. We came to worship and honor and glorify our God, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. When music itself becomes the sum total of the worship experience, we have to ask, what exactly is being worshiped? When the style of music and the performance become more important than seeking God, we no longer worship Him, but are worshiping the experience. Music has a purpose. It provides the ability to extol the greatness of God. It can console and encourage and teach and bring those who are away from God close to Him. Music can be a biblical way of expressing our joy, our worship to the Lord. It gives voice to our joy and adoration, unlike anything else when used properly. I've been in some church gatherings where freedom of expression has become more of an interruption than authentic worship. When those gathered are more focused on having a contest to reveal who's the most spirit-filled in the room by shouting out their hosannas and flailing their arms around and falling on the ground and slaying in the spirit. I wonder who the focus is. I'm not saying any of this is wrong until it becomes a distraction or praise drawn to themselves instead of a true response of the moving of God. The Bible never promotes chaos as part of corporate worship. In fact, Paul in 1 Corinthians 14, verses 26 through 33, make this point clear. He's chastising the Corinthians for allowing the service to get out of control. Then he gives an outline of good order in worship. Take some time this week to read 1 Corinthians 14. He closes the chapter reminding the church that everything, including freedom, personal freedom of worship, should be done in a fitting and orderly way. These are not my ideas. This is God's instruction. How does the church get so far off the course? At the other end of the spectrum, some churches have adopted an order of worship that doesn't line up with the Word of God, creating a dull atmosphere, holding back any show of emotion. Those attending believe that, you know, they've given their spiritual duty to God by enduring an hour of one man's delivery of spiritually sound doctrine once a week. Whether they believe it or not, they've sung a hymn, they prayed a prayer. But where are their hearts if they've secretly been wishing the time to come to an end so that they can be about their day? They call this worship, but it's far from it. We find in Matthew chapter 15, verse 8, Jesus rebuked this kind of joyless act. When he quoted the prophet Isaiah from Isaiah 29:13, saying, "These people worship me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." That's God's words. These people worship me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Going through the motions of honoring God is not worship. True worship is about God. We honor and adore Him, not simply because of what He does for us, but who He is. A biblical worship service has the potential of changing the heart. Worship is a lifestyle. It's not a moment in time. 1 Corinthians 10:31 reminds us, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Our lives are to be dedicated to the worship and service of God. The Apostle Paul describes true worship perfectly in Romans 12, 1 and 2. He says, I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind, that you'll prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable, or well-pleasing and perfect. This passage contains the elements of true worship. First, there's the motive. The mercies of God. Do you know about the mercies? God's mercies? Do you understand God's mercies are everything He has given us that we don't deserve? For starters, unconditional love, His grace, salvation, the Holy Spirit, everlasting peace, unending joy, faith, comfort, strength, wisdom, hope, patience, kindness, honor, glory, righteousness, security, eternal life, forgiveness, reconciliation, justification, sanctification, freedom, intercession, and I'm sure you can add to the list so much more. The knowledge and the understanding of these incredible gifts that are freely given to us is what motivates us to praise and thank God. In other words, worship the Creator of the universe, your God, your Savior, your King. Romans 12 offers a description of the way in which we're to worship. Present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice. Presenting our bodies means giving God all of ourselves. And not just for an hour a week. Everything. Place it before Him. Presenting our bodies means giving all of ourselves. The reference to our bodies here means all our human faculties. Our hearts, our minds, our thoughts, our attitudes are to be presented to God. Here I am, Lord. We're to give up control of these things and turn them over to Him, the same way a literal sacrifice was placed on an altar to the Lord. But how do we do this? Well, fortunately, Paul tells us in verse 2, by the renewing of your mind. We renew our minds daily by turning from the deceitful things and the desires of the world's wisdom and replacing it with a new way of thinking, the wisdom that comes from God and His will. We worship Him with a renewed and cleansed mind. No more stinking thinking. 1 Corinthians 2:16 tells us we have the mind of Christ. True worship is God-centered worship. Revelation 19:10 tells us where our worship is to be directed. It's also important to note that worship is to be directed only to God. It's only for Him. Take time to read Revelation 19 and you'll see only He is worthy. Not any of His servants are to be praised. Don't praise me. Don't follow me. Follow Him. Worship Him. Worship can be public praise to God. Psalm 22:22 tells us, I will declare your name to my people. In the assemblies I will praise you. And in Psalm 35, verse 18, we read, I will give you thanks in the great assembly. Among the throngs I will praise you. True worship is not confined to what we do in church on Sunday morning or in an open gathering somewhere. Both are good, and the Bible tells us to do both of them. True worship is the acknowledgement of God and His power and glory in everything we do. The highest form of praise and worship we can offer to God is obedience to Him and His Word. We should live our lives in total praise to Him. Father, I thank You that You have given us an order of worship and that we can find it in Your Word. Father, I thank You for revealing this information to us, and I pray that we would hide it in our heart, that we would search out the Scriptures that have been suggested, that we would do the time, that we would offer time to be still, present in Your Word. I pray that as we read Your Word this week, we'd be attentive to You and not distracted by the world. Father, will You renew our minds? Help us to turn from the ways of the world and focus on You. Use us in a mighty and powerful way this week to reflect You well. Not just this week, but until You come again. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.